Okay, well, we're in 1 Chronicles. We're going to pick up where we left off. I'm going to flip through these slides pretty quick. Last week, if you weren't here, and this will be kind of quick. Last week was Thanksgiving to the Lord, part one. And we did the setting where David was building a house for himself, and he built a tent for the ark. David assembled the people. You remember the story when they were carrying, God was very specific in his instructions. The priests were supposed to carry the ark on their shoulders on poles. And David had this great idea about, well, I'll just put it on a cart because it'll be so much easier. That makes sense, right? I'll do it my way. Never works out right. A guy named Uzzah, who was one of the people driving the cart, the cart started jostling and was about to fall off. He went up to grab it, put his hand to save it, and he died. And David got mad at the Lord. And I'm glad, and I mentioned last week, I'm glad we never do that. When we do something stupid, something bad happens, and then we, Lord, why'd you give me this? You know, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. That goes all the way back to Adam. Adam, why'd you do it? Lord, it's the woman you gave me. It's not my fault. It's in a way your fault. And David got angry with the Lord, and for 3 months, David sat around, and the ark stayed there in Obed-Edom's house, and Obed-Edom prospered greatly when it was in his house area, and David was mad. And then we picked up in chapter 16, where David then said, let's do it, and we read the verse that said, according to the way God told them, or according to Scripture, according to God's word. So they got the priest, put it on the poles, carried it over there. And that was kind of the setting coming up. And then in that, and there's in this 1 Chronicles chapter 16, there's three what we would call songs or three choruses. And the first one is in verses 8 through verse 22. And if you look at Psalm 105, you'll see it's exactly taken from Psalm 105. This here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is word for word verbatim out of Psalm 105. He takes that song, that psalm, and they put it here in 1 Chronicles as they're praising. And in that passage, there were 10 commands given. And we went through some of those last week. Give thanks, make him known. And I say often from this platform here, our goal of our church is to worship the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring other people into that relationship. So these first two commands here, give thanks to the Lord and make him known. Tell other people about him. And we went through those last week in talking through those. Then we went on to Malachi. We said, and it said here in this one here, it said, speak his works, glory in his name, be glad, seek his strength, seek his face, sing to him. And I was thinking, even this morning, some of the songs we were singing, does anyone remember the song, My Jesus, I Love Thee? I Know Thou Art Mine? Well, it's a great song. And I started thinking about these songs over the Thanksgiving week. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. I don't know if you all know that one. I'm not going to try to sing it. Yeah, yeah. For those visiting with us today, this is what you're going to get. I apologize, yeah. And then, we'll have John sing it, yeah. I was going to get the usher to throw him out, but and then Oh How I Love Jesus. Remember that one? Oh How I Love Jesus, Oh How I Love Jesus, because he first loved me. And I thought about these songs, and I said, a lot of times we sing songs about Jesus, but this says sing to him, sing praises to him. And I started thinking about those songs about singing praises to Jesus, not just telling about him, which a lot of our praise music is about, but some of those older hymns and some of those older songs, they actually are singing praises to Jesus. My Jesus, I Love Thee, and all those different songs. So we talked about that some last week. And then Malachi tells us that when we're talking about the Lord, he hearkens to us. He's listening in. When we're talking about him, the Lord listens in. It's important to him. And then I mentioned last week, we made a little point of it, and it says when we're talking about the Lord, I assume there's an angel or someone in heaven that is writing a scroll in his presence. Hey, they are talking about you right now. Because the word tells us a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So when we're talking to him and about him, he is listening in. He's saying, hey, you're talking about me. I'm going to listen into your conversation. And then we talked about that Malachi verse. And so in all these stanzas, it gives us to praise the Lord and a reason why. And to praise the Lord and a reason why. And to praise the Lord and a reason why. And last week was about 11 or 12 verses. Today's are a lot shorter. Again, you're going to have to listen quickly, though. for us to get through it, but we'll get through it. And the reason that first stands is because of God's covenant. And I'll tell you what, I was out this week over Thanksgiving, sitting in a chair by myself for a couple hours. And as I was sitting there, I was just thinking about the covenant. The covenant the Lord gave Abraham. I'm reading through this, and then I got thinking about the new covenant. The Lord did give a covenant. He's telling Israel, proclaim the name of the Lord to the world. And remember the covenant he gave to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. And then I got thinking about that covenant, saying, well, I'm not really part of that covenant to give them the land and to give them a kingdom. I am so glad I'm part of the covenant that says this cup is the new covenant in my blood. You know how thankful I am to be a part of the new covenant? Amen, amen. So as we read over these words, and it's easy to just kind of read them and gloss over them, it says, praise the Lord to remember his covenant. Well, that's great, but that you could say, well, that covenant doesn't apply to me. I'm not Jewish. I'm not going to be in the land of Israel. A lot of that stuff doesn't apply, that covenant. This new covenant is a covenant to the entire world, and we need to remember that covenant. And even this morning, I was getting ready. I was thinking, July 14th, 1985, I remember getting down on the floor and asking to God to forgive me a sinner, and God made covenant with me. And if you're a believer, God has made covenant, oath. And it tells us here in 1 Chronicles, I give you an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant, a covenant that will never be broken for thousands of generations. It's eternal, it's everlasting. I hope today you have entered that covenant relationship with God the Father, that you're his child, that you have accepted the gift he's given you of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection from the grave, and that you accept that gift, you live out that gift, and you accept his free gift of salvation. Sanctification is the process we're in now. Sanctification is a struggle. Salvation is so easy. The thief on the cross, Lord, forgive me. Remember me in your kingdom. Salvation is easy. The sanctification is where we study, and we come together, and we pray, and we lift one another up and edify one another. I was conducting a funeral yesterday afternoon, and I was reading out of Thessalonians. It says, use these words to comfort one another and to edify one another. We should always be doing that as Christian brothers and sisters, daily encouraging and edifying and lifting one another up, because the world's sinful. The world will knock you down. The world's dark. This is the light. And so we went through that first song last week, or the first section of that, and now we're in the second part. In 23, verse chapter 16, verse 23, it's quoted directly from Psalm 96, 1 through 13. And we see here again in verse 23, it says, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day. Can anyone guess what that word salvation in Hebrew says? Proclaim his salvation. Guess what that word says in Hebrew? Yeshua. I looked it up, and that word salvation there is the full Yeshua word, Yeshua. We'll talk about that in a moment. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. Folks, this is what we're to be doing. I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again today, it doesn't say these are optional. These are in the imperative sense of the verb. We are to declare his name to the nations. It is our job, and I mentioned a few weeks ago a friend of mine that was martyred in the Middle East, Bonnie, in Lebanon. And I remember her, and I mentioned that story a few weeks ago when she said, Lord didn't call me to Lebanon, he called me to obedience. And she was martyred there for her Christian faith. But I tell people, if you go across the street, if God is telling you, were you at your place of work when it's appropriate, at your school, some of our younger people may be still in school, in the street, in the grocery store, you talk to someone, what better time to talk about the Lord than when you're talking to someone you haven't met? Amen. You'll go to complete strangers' store and say, hey, wow, it's surely raining today, or how about, I'm sorry, Jerry, I almost said, how about those Longhorns, but I won't. But you'll say, how about those Chicago Bears or something, or well, complete strangers will talk about nothing almost, nothing of any significance. How much better say, how you doing today? Has the Lord blessed you? You know, what have you been to church? I always ask people about church and say, when you're able to go to church, where do you go? Because it puts people awkward when you say, where do you go to church, when they don't. But if you say, when you're able, their mind will say, well, let's see, 20 years ago, I was at my grandma's church. But it takes the pressure off. Well, when I'm able to go, So I'll just ask people, so hey, when you're able to go to church, where do you go? And well, we go to so-and-so and Christmas and Easter. And that's fine. But talk about the Lord in those conversations. And I would encourage you, and I've said this before, and I'll say it many times today and even in the future, ask the Lord for divine opportunities. I think in the course of your day, he is giving you opportunities to do exactly this. I don't believe the Lord's going to give you a command to praise him, to sing to him, to declare his name to the nations, to others, and never give you the opportunity to do it. We do have an opportunity to do it. We absolutely have an opportunity to tell our friends, our neighbors, our family members across the street, all these people, we have the ability to talk to people about the Lord. But we end up talking about all kinds of stuff except. Now, it doesn't mean you can't talk about hunt season and car racing and Aggies, those great Aggies. I'm working for you, Jerry. I'm trying. If you all know, Jerry's an Aggie fan. But he gives us those opportunities. It's not a lack of us having the opportunity. It's a lack of us being obedient to this. It's a lack at the end of the day, and in my own life, I have to examine it and say, Lord, there's a lack of, it's not a lack of opportunity. It's a lack of me remembering this. Hey, how about the Lord? What about the Lord? What are y'all doing for Christmas? Remember, we the reason for the season. Start telling people the reason for the season. Proclaim his salvation. And I pointed that out because it says, proclaim his Yeshua. Tell the nations of his glory and his works. And then the reasons in verse 25, and I think we'd all agree with this, for great is the Lord. For great is the Lord, and he is most worthy of praise. We sang that song in the middle of the storm, I will praise you. You know how easy it is on a Sunday morning in church to sing that song? You know how hard it is on Thursday afternoon when you got bad news? Yeah, you know, a Sunday morning in a we're all together, we're united in the name of Christ. You have the strength of the Lord here. You have all these benefits of brothers and sisters and singing and praising and worshiping and prayer. You have all this here, but then Monday comes. And then the devil starts working because now you're out there on your own. That's why I said earlier, it's important that we stay connected during the week, that you call somebody once in a while. Call, say, hey, I haven't seen some in a while. I haven't seen them in 2 or 3 weeks. How's everything going? Or shoot them a quick text. It's so easy to shoot someone a quick text these days. Hey, thinking of you, I missed you at church Sunday. Call if you need anything. I'm here for you. We need to do that because there are people that are going through some struggles. And if you're not, it's coming. It is. So, but you need to start building those relationships with one another too as family. Verse 25 says, For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared or revered. There's always question on that word. I take it a little bit as the phobia word. He is to be feared. There are times, Lord, protect me. Lord, thank you for all you've given us. And if you had a dad like my dad, there was times I was afraid. When dad gets home, there's going to be trouble. We broke the window. He told us don't throw the ball in the house. You know, it was straight up fear. And I think there's nothing wrong with there's a time being a healthy fear, not a, you know, not a fear that drives you away, but a fear of like when a reverential fear of, hey, the Lord, this power this being has called Jehovah, this power he has, I need to be afraid at times of him. And especially if I'm out of his will and out of his protection, I desperately need to run back, just like a chick runs to its mother and gets under its wings. We need to have that same attitude when trouble comes. Run straight to the Lord. Thank you, Crystal. For the gods of this nation are idols. Some of your translation might say, for the gods of the nations are meaningless or of nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that worship football teams or race cars or the game of golf. And I say that because when we say about worship, in your idle time, what do you think about? What do you talk about? What do you spend your money on? When someone says, well, I'm all about, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If it's not, I'm all about God, the center of our being, it's not that God is a slice of our life on Sunday morning. He has to be baked into everything we do. He has to be part of every activity we're in. I loved we were out this week with a family and friends. Chris was there and Albert and, of course, family. And every meal we'd pray, we'd talk. I'm going to mention real quick, we went and Albert and I got up in the morning about 8 o'clock. We put a new hard top on we have a Polaris side-by-side out there. And we put the hard top on. We got tools out and in the trucks and out of the trucks and getting the guns and putting the guns away and in the deer stands and out of the deer stands. And I'm not going to be too graphic here, but we got a deer and it ran for about a half mile. And we're chasing it. And Albert's out in the dark with flashlight. We're going through where you couldn't even get through it. You know, there was some parts out there in the woods there. You can't even, you know, no, we can't go this way, go the other way. And we're finally getting through there. We get home. He's going home about 10:30 at night, reaching his pocket. I've lost my keys. I said, our land out there, we had 275 acres on the Colorado River in San Saba, Texas. And I said, you've covered probably 200 of those acres today. And you've lost your keys. And I'm thinking, this is a five-hour drive home tonight for me to get back to Conroe to get his keys, five-hour turnaround right back, shower up, get an hour nap, and turn around right back for church. So I get a 15-hour drive looking at me. And I'm and said, Chris, I don't know if you know where's Chris. Chris says, hey, guys, what's the first thing we need to do? We're sitting around the campfire. We need to pray. We prayed, and I'm telling you, Albert, did you find your keys? We found his keys. We prayed, and we said, Lord, and you might say, well, that's not a big deal. Albert, was it a big deal? Chris said, let's pray. So, Uriah and Angela and Chris, and I don't know if Kat was there or maybe Rachel, there was like four or five of us. We prayed, we held hands, we said, Lord, we need to find these keys. We got flashing, we're out walking, looking, we're looking everywhere in trucks, under the trucks. He said, let's go to the last, and we go, we're walking, they're there, right there. There is, I do not believe, had we not prayed, we would have found those. Now, you might say, oh yeah, you would have. You weren't there. I'm telling you, I think it was directly because of that prayer. I'm not kidding you, he covered 200 of that 275 acres that day. And I said, when's the last time you saw him? This morning. I remember this morning getting those tools and we were putting the hard top on the side-by-side. Oh, that's 10, 12 hours ago, man. Let me get my, I hear we're 15-hour drive ahead of us. But my point, and although it's kind of maybe humorous, I'm telling you, I am convinced when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord, and the Lord's going to set you straight and say, yeah, I got involved. But when Chris said, we need to ask the Lord first, and I was thinking, there is no way we're finding those keys. It just can't be done. In the ravines and rivers and streams and cactus, there's prickly pear cactus out there and everything out there. But God, and I said that, I said, we wouldn't have found the keys, but God. Yeah, and every one of us should have stories after story after story. Like that. We need to declare his praises. Now, like we did last week, we're going to do again this week. We're in just a few minutes. I'm going to say, if you've got a praise, a thanksgiving, a praise, the mic is up here, and we're going to do the same like we did last week. We're going to come here and give praises. Now, you've seen the instructions to declare his praises among the nations, to tell people about his good deeds. Tell people what he's done for you. We read these, and if you're visiting today, you haven't heard this. If you've been here, you have. I want to remind everyone, the praise team leads you into worship. The preaching leads you into worship. Your giving leads you into worship. The people, and you notice I call this a platform, and I've said that, I don't call this a stage, it's a platform. We are not the ones performing for the Lord, or we're not performing for you. You are performing for him. And if you come to church, you just sit down, and we heard a good song, we heard a good message, and we went home, you didn't worship. You are to be worshiping. You are to hear these words and say, Lord, I remember these words. I remember the good deeds you've done for me. And I am so excited about what you've done for me. I have to tell somebody. That's how we should be about the Lord. We should always be about the Lord, telling about his good deeds, telling what he's done. And folks, I want us, and I said this about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we as a church body have got to increase our level of worship. It can't be come to church on Sunday morning, check the box, and we're done. It's got to be a vibrant, alive worship. And I've been praying that the Holy Spirit is going to start quickening us and saying, hey, church is not just coming Sunday morning in an activity. Church is what I do. Church is where I get to be with brothers and sisters. Church is where I'm with my church family. Church is where I come together and we get to declare his praises. We get to sing to him. We get to sing about him. We get to talk about him. We get to build our battery energy levels up and go out in the world and then face the enemy out there and tell the people around us about who he is. So it says, great is the Lord. We read those words, verse 25, for great is the Lord. We've got to believe that. He is great. He is awesome. He is worthy of our worship. Amen. He is most worthy of our praise. He is to be revered above all gods, for all the gods of this nation are nothing. That football team you follow, or that race car driver, or whatever it is you do, book, author, read, movies, what value is that going to have? A year from today, 5 years, 10, 1,000 years from today, none of that will have value. None of it. And we've got a real, and there's nothing wrong with those activities. I'm not saying don't quit your hobbies. I'm saying, but keep them in perspective. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, is the first commandment. God says, you will put me number one. Before everything else, I've got to be first. He put you first in his category. We need to put him first. It says, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. If you say, well, I'm depressed, I'm miserable, I'm sad, maybe you're not being with the Lord. Because what it says here is strength and joy are in his dwelling place. You know, I would say in the last 6 months to a year, I've had more people say they're going through depression probably than I have in the last 10 years. Depression is real. If you're going through it, call, pray. But I'm telling you, the best cure I know of, you may need some medicine. I'm not one of the guys that say you never need medicine. If I've got a sore arm, I'm going to take aspirin. There's a time for stuff. If something in your brain's not working right and the doctor says this is going to help with something, there's nothing wrong with taking a medicine if you need it. But true joy, it says right here, if we believe the words of the Lord, and I do, it says joy is in his presence. If you're in the Lord's presence, you should have joy. That depression should leave you. So often what we do, though, is we take our eyes and our focus off the Lord, and we put our eyes and our focus on our problems, and boy, I'll tell you, Satan will have a field day. He will have an absolute field day in your brain when you start focusing on your problems. Nowhere in this passage does it say, and the Lord gave us big problems, and we focused on them, and we talked to our neighbors about them. We went online and Facebook and complained, and we told all of our family and friends, and we're miserable. How's this for a witness? I'm broke, and I'm hurt, and I'm sorry, and I'm miserable, and I'm depressed, but I love Jesus, and he's the great, you want to know him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. I'm depressed, I'm miserable, I hate life. Do you want my Jesus? No, I don't want that Jesus. I do not want that Jesus. I want the Jesus that has joy. Everywhere in this book where Jesus shows up, guess what happens? Good things. Good things got better. Nowhere does it say, and Jesus showed up, and everything got terrible. It doesn't say that. I've read it numerous times. It does not say that. Where he shows up, sick people get healed, blind people see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute speak, dead people rise. Everywhere he goes, there's joy. Glory to God. Alabanza a Dios. And if we're in his presence, it says there is joy there. So if you're going through depression, I encourage you, spend more time in the presence of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You just said it? Don't step on my sermon. Great minds think alike, I guess. Yeah, we'll put it that way, yeah. Les does it all the time. He'll be talking in Genesis, and I'm in John, and he gets my notes or something? I think, you know what? I think it is intended. I think the Lord does it unintentionally. I looked up last week. Remember, we were in Peter, and it said, "For the Lord has called us, you're a royal priesthood, a holy generation, a chosen generation." And then it said, "I'm going to look it up." The word was hopos, which means it's coincidence. It doesn't mean coincidence in the sense we use the word. The original word coincidence, it says, "The Lord has saved you for this purpose, to praise His name." We were saved, yes, to tell others. But we were saved for the purpose of praising him. And in that 2 Peter, I think it was 2 Peter, maybe 1 Peter, where it says you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation for the purpose of, that word I looked it up is coinciding. It's co means with, in, on, and the sedere in Latin, but it means to fall upon together. So our meaning of that word today has changed about the 17th, 18th century. It became two things that happen simultaneously that are not connected. It's a coincidence. It's really coincidence. These things happened specifically in Hebrew. It means intentionally, or in Greek, I mean, it means intentionally. It happened. It was intentional. So when it says you're a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, and God intended that, He caused it to happen for the purpose. And the other translation said it's a purposeful or intentionally, the other one says, and actually does. I thought about that this week. God intended, if you're a believer, to praise him. The intention was on his side. The actually doing it was on my side. Do I actually do it? So the intention of God saving you was you would praise him. I'm saying this, I want you to think about that this week, saying, do I praise him? I was saved to sing praises to the Lord. I was saved to declare his name to the nations. I was saved to be a spokesperson for him. That was his intention in saving me. But am I following through with that intention? Am I actually doing it? I hope that's challenging you. And you've often, again, if you're visiting, I say, I'm not the kind of pastor that just wants to inform you. I want these words to transform you. I want you to leave here where you're different than when you walked in. You should leave here with some challenges and some, and I'm telling you, you guys got it easy peasy, lemon squeezy, because you get this about 40 minutes. The Lord works on me for about a week with this stuff. And there's times I'm crying, and next thing I know, I'm up praising and singing, and then I'm down on my knees, Lord, forgive me. I mean, I get beat up like you don't know with this stuff, because it is challenging to work through these things. And Lord, I want to just read the words. I want to understand them. And I'm telling you, we have a great God. And the more you magnify him, and I've mentioned this too, if you're visiting, you haven't heard this. When you magnify something, you don't make it bigger. You make it bigger to you, to your perspective. If you get a microscope and you look under at an atom or something, and you zoom in on it, it gets bigger. It doesn't get bigger in reality, but it gets bigger to you. And when we magnify the Lord, that's how we should be. When we think about him, we talk about him, we praise him, we tell our neighbor, he should be getting bigger and bigger and bigger until those problems, you don't even see the problems anymore. You could be beaten and chained and thrown into a dungeon, and you could be singing his praises in the midnight chamber, singing his praises, saying, well, this is nothing. These are light afflictions on this earth that we have. Light afflictions compared to the glory set before us in heaven. These aren't problems here. We don't have problems here. When you compare the problems of this world to the glory of heaven, these aren't problems. But Satan will get in your head with depression. And say, oh, this is a big problem. Big problem. You can't fix this. And there are problems in this world you can't fix. But I know somebody can. I know when someone's keys are lost, you can find them at 11 o'clock at night. But God. I know there's a story in this book about three boys are going to get thrown into a fire. And they said, if you either kneel and praise me or you're going to be thrown in the fire. So, well, whether we live or die, we don't care. We're not going to do that. We're going to praise the Lord. And you would have thought all hope would lost for those three Hebrew boys in Nebuchadnezzar's court, but God. When Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, you can go story after story after story. Oh, there's no way out of this one. This is the end of it. This is it. This is kaputz. There's nothing can be saved. There's nothing can be done. There's nothing, not by us, but God. You bring God into the equation, everything changes. You know, once I was dead in my trespasses and sins, there was a time in my life I was headed straight to hell, and so were you. None of us, we didn't come in born into the salvation. We were not born saved. There was a time we were all dead. Someone said, if I could see a blind guy get his sight back, or if I could see someone, you know, limping and have a broken leg and all of a sudden be able to walk, and if I could see a real miracle, I'm telling you, if you're saved, you've seen a miracle. You've seen a dead person be brought back to life. Amen. That is a miracle. That's a spiritual miracle. A good doctor can fix a leg. A good doctor can fix eyes. There's only one that can say, arise, you are healed. There's only one that can say your sins are forgiven. That's the one we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. Am I the only one excited? I feel like I'm the only one excited about this, yeah? Thank you. Praise God. Praise his name. So it says, so then we get to verse 28. It says, ascribe or give credit or put a note down there. This work is because of the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord. Give this to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Your translation might say give thanks or give, it won't say credit, but that word ascribe means to give account to, this is the one that did it. So ascribe to the Lord, all the families of the nations, ascribe to the Lord. Give credit or give reverence or give thanks to the Lord, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Oh my goodness, I thought about that. Folks, I don't think I have given to the Lord the glory due his name. Amen. This verse right here really challenged me this week. I don't think we praise him enough. This is, again, a command. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. If it said ascribe to the Lord glory, I do that. Give him the glory that he's due. Whoops. I don't know that I give him the glory he's due. That should really get our worship ratcheted up. Man, I gotta start talking more about him. I gotta start praising him more. I gotta start singing more to him. I gotta start telling my neighbors more. You're always gonna be right when you do more. Always do more. Always be striving on this road of sanctity. You know that verse I've said, he who's begun a good work in you, that's salvation, will continue to perfect it, that's sanctification, until he returns, that will be glorification. So that one verse holds the whole timeline of your Christian walk. Salvation, sanctification, glorification. So it says, give him the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. And then, as though he's telling all the nations, all of Israel to do this, it's not enough. So in verse 30, he says, tremble before him all the earth. Now he's not just talking to Israel and the priests and the Jewish people. Now he's saying all the earth needs to do this. You see in this passage, his declaration of the Lord, or his magnifying the Lord, says, you know, talking to you people is not enough. The whole earth needs to hear this. The whole earth needs to tremble before him. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And now even the earth isn't big enough. Read this in this way. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to the earth. He says, let the heavens rejoice. Even the earth's not big enough to contain the glory due his name. The heavens need to rejoice. The angelic beings, the planets, the heavenly beings, the four living beasts, all these things, everything, all that is in the Israel, all that is in the earth, all that is in the heavens, everything on earth needs to be glad and rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. I want you all to say, the Lord reigns. Now say it like you mean it. The Lord reigns. When those problems come, you need to say, you know what? The Lord reigns. But I don't have enough money to pay the bills this month. The Lord reigns. But I got this note from the doctor, and it's a bad news. The Lord reigns. When you can put the Lord reigns above all the problems of this world, things will get better. But when you look at the problems of the world and say, yeah, the Lord reigns, but it's not enough. The Lord, either he reigns or he doesn't. You got to decide. He reigns. He doesn't just reign in the heavens and in the earth. Does he reign in your heart? That the Lord's Prayer, it says, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first place that's going to be done is in your heart. Right. If you say, Lord, I want you to reign over there, but not here. I want you to reign over the heavens, but this little part of this little sin I keep in my life, I want to reign over that part. You can reign over everything else, but this one little thing that I've got hidden away here. No, he's going to reign over that too. And you're better to turn it up today and let him be Lord over all of it than some of it. And you don't have to wait to heaven. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to do that. You can do that here on earth. You can say, Lord, you reign over everything. You reign over my health, my finances, my job, my church, my family. You are Lord over everything. Yeah, over everything. Over my hobbies, over my desires, my wishes. You are Lord over everything. You might as well just get used to it, because one day, you know, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus has eternal glory and honor and power. You're going to say that one day. Might as well just say it today and be done with it. Say, hey, I've made my decision. I'm going to just praise him and be done with it. Let the trees in the forest, verse 32, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant. So here's the fish, the plants, let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And that part got me back to that fear part. Yeah, for he's coming to judge. I hope you're ready. Everyone is going to be judged on one of two criteria. Do you want your sins put on Jesus and the judgment landed on him 2,000 years ago? Or do you want your sins left on you and God judges you on your sin? I am very thankful and grateful that Jesus took my sins. And he put them on the cross, and he said, those are mine. Dale, you're justified. You're just as though you've never sinned. There's going to be peace between you and my Father because of my work. That's what I'm glad I'm being judged on. Because if I'm judged on my sin, all of hell is waiting for me. If you're a judge, if you say, I'm going to be judged on what I do, you don't want to be judged on your works. Because the Bible tells us all your works are as filthy rags to the Lord. You can't clean them. You can't clean a filthy rag with another filthy rag. How do I make my sins forgiven? How can I do this? By accepting the gift of Jesus Christ. All your sins will be taken away. All your sins, they'll be like scarlet, will be white as snow. We better get back on track here. So the Lord is great and to be praised. Ascribe, give thanks. The reasons, give thanks for he's good. His loving kindness is foreverlasting. And then I thought about that, about when we're not thankful. And you know the passage there in Luke where it says there was 10 lepers come to Jesus, heal us, he heals them all. 9 go away, 1 comes back and thanks the Lord. And I thought about this in conjunction with thanking the Lord. And it says, we're not all 10 cleansed. This is Jesus talking. Where are the others? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise except this one? And I thought about that. The Lord notices our lack of gratitude. In that passage, he didn't just tell the one that came back to say, thank you for healing. He said, where's the other 9? It's great that you came back to thank me, but where's the 9 that didn't? Where are they? Only one came back. And I thought about that, and what that told me was, he acknowledges or he notices when we don't thank him. You know, it's important that we thank him for stuff. I'm sorry?
Daily.
Minutely, hourly. Lord, thank you. We need to thank him on an extremely regular basis, on all things. Give thanks. Give thanks in all things. Now, you don't have to be thankful for a flat tire. Lord, thank you for giving me this flat tire. But you can say, Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to get the tire fixed, or thank you for giving me 3 tires that aren't flat. You don't got to be silly. Thank you for, I got hit in the head with a hammer. Thank you. You don't got to be thankful for that. Thank you there's doctors that are going to help me. Maybe not. Maybe they're not doctors that are going to help me. I don't know, but the Lord notices our lack of gratitude. And then I wanted to put this up there. I've had several questions on this. Scott asked about this a few months ago, a friend of ours. But anyway, he said about the name Jehovah or the Lord or God or Elohim or Jesus. What's all this name? He keeps saying, sing to his name, praise his name. And that word name comes up. Well, Jehovah is the 4-letter tetragram, the YHWH, Yahweh. And what they've done with that Yahweh, and just a real quick, I'll be very quick on this. Jews won't say it. As a matter of fact, sometimes they'll say the name. You'll see if you're reading in Hebrew, it'll say Shem, and Shem means name. It'll say the name, Hashem. The Ha is the, and then Shem, name. They won't pronounce it. If they wrote it, when they were writing it in the Old Testament, we translate it in English, when you see the word Lord all in capitals, that's originally, it was Yahweh was there, the 4 letters. And they wouldn't put the vowels in it, so they said, we're not saying the name, we're not writing the name. Every time in the Old Testament when they put the word Yahweh, they would bathe, change their clothes, get a new pen, put it in new ink, and then write the letters, and then keep writing. When they got to it again, they'd go bathe, and they said the name is to be so holy and so revered, we can't just write it, or we can't even speak it. Our sinful lips can't say it. Now, we can say the name Jesus. But I want to explain how we get from Jehovah to Jesus. But here are these different names. We've heard Jehovah Shalom, which means complete or paid for. It's the same root as Shalom. You know that word Shalom? It's the same root word, the S-H-L-M, that 3-letter concept. But Jehovah is a 4-letter, and they didn't put the vowel markings in, so someone took the word Adonai somewhere in history, and the A and the E in Hebrew are the same letter. But anyway, they took Yahweh, in about the 15th century, the Yah became a Jah. We've changed it, but originally it probably was Yahweh, and they added the A after the J, the O after the H, and then the A. They took the vowels from the word Adonai, smashed them into Yahweh, and came up with that sound. That's where we get the word Jehovah. We say, well, how did we come up with the word Jehovah from Yahweh? And the V and the W are sometimes called a Wa, sometimes called a Va. And there's still languages that do that with the W and the V. So there's still languages that do that. So then I was thinking about the compound names of the Lord this week. Jehovah Shalom. If you're in depression or miserable or just need peace, and it said a moment ago there's joy in the presence of the Lord, there is peace in the presence of the Lord. And then that word Magan, his shield and buckler, if you look at Psalm 91:4, and I did do some research on that, it said a shield was a big shield held by the forearms with straps, and it would block things. The buckler was a smaller round thing held by your hand. And on the front would have a round area, so when someone threw rocks or sticks, you could kind of move it around quickly and block them. And I thought about that too. A shield stops the big problems of the world, but he's also our buckler, the little problems. So you might say, well, I've got a serious disease. You need a shield. Well, I got a flat tire. Okay, that's probably a buckler problem. But I thought it's interesting how that so specific says for either big problems or little problems, he's the fixer for them. He fixes the big problems and the little problems. And then Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Nisi, my banner, the Lord is our banner. Sabaoth, armies. We sang in the song, it said that heaven sends armies to defend us, to protect us. We sang that song today. You know, when you pray to the Lord and he hears you, I think in the spiritual realm, angels are sent from, hey, Joe over there is going through a problem. Go help him, support him, strengthen him, lift him up. That's why it's so important we pray for one another. Hey, so-and-so is going through a problem. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to ask the Lord of heaven's armies to send help. We read this and we believe it. We've got to start living like this. We've got to let this get deep down inside of us. Not just everybody's, I want to get deep in the Word. The Word needs to get deep in you. Don't just get deep in the Word. I know a lot of people give lots of facts about the Bible, but they don't believe it. Satan knows a lot of facts about the Bible. He's deep in the Word, but the Word's not deep into him. When the Word gets deep into you, you will start praying for lost keys. Little thing. It's not, hey, he's there to help you in all your problems. For if you're lonely, you're going through a hard time, Jehovah Shammah, he is there. He is the one that sticks closer than a brother. He's there no matter what you go through, he is there with you. And then Rapha, who wants to praise the Lord for being a healer? Wow, Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. So many of us have problems, physical problems, mental problems, you know, our things aren't working right, and we can go to the Lord and the Lord heal me. One day he will heal you. You know, for years, many of you know my dad had a glass eye, and I used to say, Lord, I just ask one day he gets his sight back. People say, the Lord's not going to, he can't fix his sight. He's got a glass eye. I won. He's in heaven now. He's seeing with both eyes. He's healed. The Lord healed him on his schedule. But I said, the Lord's going to answer that prayer. I promise you. When he's in heaven, he's going to have his finger back. He's going to have his eye back. All these maladies of this world that have beat him up, he's going to be healed. Now, he can heal us on this side, or he can heal us on that side. But if you're a believer, you will be healed. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have all those, and there's a whole lot more. You might just do a research online or something, just look up the compound names of Jehovah. And Yahweh, as you know, that's the word that spoke from the burning bush when Moses said, who do I say sent me? And he said, Yahweh. And that would be translated, I am. And then yesterday I was at that funeral, and I was thinking of John 14. I read that in the passage yesterday. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not told, so I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for myself, that where I am, there you might be also. And if I go, you know where I go and the way you know. And I think it was Thomas that said, well, how do we know where you're going and how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am Yahweh. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is declaring himself that he is that. Way back here in 1 Chronicles 16, show us your salvation, Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. I'm going to send a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. God is with us. And then Jehovah, our request in verse 16:35. So David praises him. He gets down to 16:35, and he finally gives a request. And he says, David, cry out, save us, Yahshua, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name. And I want you to jump over to verse chapter 17, probably on the next page, verse 11. And in verse 11, this is now God giving David a covenant. And he said, when your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, Les. I think you stole that in Bible study today. And I will establish his throne forever. Now, Solomon was the next son in line. Saul, one syllable, David, two syllables, Solomon, three. That's how you remember the first three kings. Solomon only had a short kingdom. So we know he wasn't talking about Solomon. But God here promises David, I'm going to set up one of your descendants from the house of David, the son of David, one of your sons. I will set up a kingdom for him, and that kingdom is going to last forever. And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it from your predecessor, Saul. I will set over him my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. How long is that throne going to last? Is he being pretty clear here? I would say when the Lord says it one time, it's extremely important. When he says it three times in one passage, he's screaming to get our attention. I'm going to set up a kingdom for one of the sons of David, a descendant of David, and that kingdom will last forever. Who's looking for that kingdom? I am so ready for that kingdom to start today. His throne will be established forever. And then this is the first Sunday of Advent, Paul. Thank you. Paul alerted me this week. Advent Sunday. Shua in Hebrew means saves or salvation. Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. When you abbreviate that, and it's been abbreviated, Yahoshua, this is where we get the name Jesus. And then it became Yeshua. By the time Jesus shows up, they abbreviated more. In about the 1500s, the Y became a J sound. So that's now where we get Jesus' name probably when he walked the earth was Yeshua. We would pronounce it Jesus. And then in Greek, when they changed the name Yahshua, the Greek doesn't have an SH sound. So that's why there's just an S. They don't have a SH, a shin in Hebrew. Greek doesn't have a sh sound. They just have an S. So they had to change it from Yahshua to Yahshua, and then just like with Christopher Columbo, the Latin started putting S's on the end of names. So I say that. I know that's probably not your night. Why are we doing this on Sunday morning? Because that's a lot of when I only see you Sunday morning. But I've had several questions about, is his name really Jesus? Well, if you want to be technical, you could say Yahshua, but I don't think it's so much what we say here as what we say here. I think it's more important what you say in your heart. And you can either say Yahshua, Yahoshua, Yahweh Shua, or Jesus, whatever you want. But I don't think there's, that's how we, I had someone say, well, his name's not Jesus, it's Jehovah. And I said, well, it's not even Jehovah, it's Yahweh. But anyway, that's how, if you've ever wondered about that, how do we get the name Jesus from Yahweh Shua, which is, that's how we got there. And that was just more of a, I just wanted to explain it because I've had several questions from people in the last month or two, more than I've probably had in the last year or two, about what's really his name and how is it Jesus. So does everyone follow on that? Any questions? Okay, I don't see any. We'll keep moving then. And then interestingly, then in Luke 1:33, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid. And the reason, whenever you see an angel show up, almost the first thing out of their mouth is don't be afraid. I think if a 10-foot flaming angel with a sword walked in the door, I think most of us would be afraid. I think they're pretty scary things when you see them, but I think the power of them is kind of catches you off guard. So the angel says, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Yahshua. That's just the name we just saw in Hebrew, Jehovah saves. He is the salvation of the Lord. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Remember we read back in Chronicles, he will be my son. It says here in Luke, he will be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. So what we just read in Chronicles is fulfilled in Luke. When Jesus shows up, this covenant God made with David is fulfilled in the Christ coming to earth and Jesus coming here. His kingdom was set up. And I think that when Jesus stepped out of the grave, depending on your eschatology, I think when Jesus stepped out of the grave, his kingdom began. We're not in it yet. It's sometimes you might hear this term already, but not yet. But Jesus is reigning. He's reigning. We said earlier, remember y'all said Jesus reigns? The Lord reigns? Does he reign? So if there's a king and there's a kingdom, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's a kingdom. Part of my heart, I wish it was 100%. He rules over it. There's a king with a kingdom. I think his kingdom's started. We're just not there yet. We're not fully in that kingdom yet, but I am so ready. I am so ready to walk those streets of gold. Amen? And so I wanted to mention this as we go into now the season of Christmas, the reason for this season. I thought, what better way than in Chronicles to be thankful for Thanksgiving and then introduce as we go into now the story of Jesus for the next couple, 3 weeks in the Bethlehem story and the story of Christmas. I think that's the last slide. It is. If somebody back there is any smart, yep, that's the last one. So, okay, that is it. So I want, does anyone want to come up here quickly if we make a line? Does anyone get some kind of praise? And I hope someone's got a praise. And if you're visiting, don't think because you're visiting, you can't come up here and give a praise real quick. I know lines are forming quickly. Oh, good. Thank you, Angela. You know, Angela, about 3 months ago, I may have mentioned this, talked to me about baptism and got baptized. And, you know, within just, a month or so after that, we had 9 baptisms here, 3 weeks ago? And I was telling Angela, you kind of broke the can lid open. Is this one on? You got to press the button, is what I'm hearing.
Is it working? All right. About 6 years ago, we left our home in Sacramento, and we left our family, which I was always very close with, and I thought we just left for a physical house. But now I know that he called us here to be with my new family. Amen. And I want to say that I love you, each and every one of you, and I love Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Ron?
You know, each week I think about something, especially since we brought up the thankfulness. And, you know, Angela brings up a valid point. The Lord has directed my family and I through a number of churches over the last, let's just say, 5-7 years. But one of the most thankful things that I have found is coming back to the Woodlands Bible Church and it reinvigorating my family, myself, my boys, in the walk that we should all be walking. And when I see the blessings that we have been fortunate to receive, it's hard. It hits home. Thank you, babe. I look at it and I'm like, what have I done to really deserve this? And ultimately, I can't say anything other than it's just my faith in the Lord and the best walk that I can walk while what I'm learning. And I give praise to the Lord for that.
Amen.
And thankful to our pastor to continue to lead us and teach us.
Amen. Ron? Here comes, Don, she was next.
Yes. Good morning.
Thank you, Don.
I'm new. My name is Anna.
Hello, Waller. Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
Visitor, I believe.
So my praise report is, I don't know how many of you are familiar with fibromyalgia. Okay, so I had that in...
Jehovah Rapha.
So I had a lot of attacks at work, just dealing with a lot of politics. My family, we had a lot of issues. And I gave myself, I dropped down. And I said, Lord, why? And I remember that night, I could feel myself being pulled up. I felt the temperature change. And I saw God, I saw my healer. And I was singing like a canary. My dad, my sisters, my job. And all he said to me was, I know.
Amen.
So after that, I came back. I felt myself coming back, different planes, different temperatures. And when I woke up, no one could tell me that was not a conversation with God because I forgave everyone that night. I felt lighter.
Praise Jesus.
I felt more joy. And, you know, that doesn't happen in the natural where you forgive someone overnight. It just doesn't happen. So a couple of weeks later, I was allergic to beef because of fibromyalgia. It just took so much out of my system. So my mom constantly forgot that I couldn't have beef. And she cooked enchiladas with beef. And she calls me. She's like, are you okay? Because I had met her for lunch. And I said, yeah, why? She's like, well, I forgot. I put beef in the enchiladas, and I felt no pain. So when I went to the doctor, he said, how are you feeling? I said, I feel fine. Well, that was 10 years ago. I no longer have fibromyalgia.
Wow, amen.
Amen. So in my heart, I know that he wanted me to share this, you know, at a forum, but I never knew which forum until today.
Amen.
So thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Thanks,
Jesus.
Thanks, Anna. All right. I just wanted to give a praise to the Lord.
Scripture says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I have truly found a good thing.
Amen.
Now, I want to encourage anybody here that's single. I was saved at 27. I got married at 54. And the Lord sustained me through that entire process. And we've been married 25 years. It's been a good 25 years. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, one more. We had another one.
Don't worry, guys. I'll keep it together this time. I want to praise God because no matter what we're going through, he is present. He is protecting us. He is giving us his peace, his provisions. And I want to thank him for guiding the doctors to figure out my dad's illness and make him feel better, and that his tumor has shrunken in half or more. And I just want to thank him for guiding the doctors to get my dad back to a healthy place where he feels better.
Amen. Well, I'll do a quick one, and it's on Billy over here cutting that tree. My son-in-law and daughter have a company cutting trees down, and he was 90. That tree was 100. We had 100-foot rope, and the tree was taller than the rope. So he was about 90 feet in the air, and there was power lines down below him. And he told me the story that he got zapped. He had to get off the job because the power started jumping to the tree. And he got zapped. He said, for about 7 seconds, I was locked on, and he could have... And he finally broke loose. But that was a close call. Yeah? So I'm thankful. I told Kat, get life insurance on him quick-like, and then... But anyway, that's a good praise, though. That's a good praise, though, that you that could have been really troublesome, getting locked onto a tree 90 feet in the air. And then Josie's got something to say.
Hello. This happened probably about, 5-6 years, maybe more. My mind's not here yet. Anyway, I was going to work. And God knows that I only had one car, and I was running late, like most of the time I run late.
Like today?
Yes.
I'm running late, sorry.
I came early today. But anyway, I was getting into the freeway and just driving like normal, and then all of a sudden I feel the sway in my car. I go, oh, man. You know, the first things that came out of my mouth were not good words. But I said them twice, and I said, Lord, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I got out of the car, I saw the other car, and the car in the back that hit me was like their front right side was all sunken in, like really, really bad. I turn around and look at my car. My car did not have a scratch on it.
Wow.
Like, and I praise Jesus for that, because he always protects us no matter what.
I'll go. I'd be remiss if I didn't. So at the end of the year, when our out-of-pocket max is met, is when I go do all of my, you know, end-of-year health stuff for our insurance pays it. So I have had stage four liver disease, cirrhosis. I was diagnosed with a few years ago, mostly self-induced. And then this year it has reverted, which is something that doesn't statistically happen. So stage three fibrosis. And he says, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. You might start getting fatty liver, cut out the sweets, but we don't see this happen. So that's not a God thing. I don't know what it is. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Gloria?
Well, I just want to thank God that we are never alone.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I am, and I don't want to be. However, he never leaves me.
Amen.
Hi. I'm very thankful to be part of this church, and I've really seen this amazing growth from, I think we came here like 3 years ago or something, and you can just see, like, we weren't sure where things were going to go and what was going to happen. It was tumultuous at times, as many of you know, and thank you to those who stuck it out, and we just really felt, or I felt, I should speak just for myself, that God wanted me here to use whatever talents that he wants me to use for his glory, and I'm thankful to be able to use my skills to help build God's house and to help minister to the believers and to see growth in someone like Emma, wherever she is right now. But hopefully she'll get here in time to sing. But she's here. Okay. She's amazing. And just to see her growth, to see the growth in so many people, and including myself and my husband, too, who I'm just so happy to be married to him and to see his growth in the teaching. And he doesn't stop studying through the week, and I get to hear a little bit about what he's going to teach over and over again, and I know it pretty well. But it's great because of his enthusiasm and love, and I just see God working in all of us individually, the growth I see in Josh and other people, the church itself. It is amazing when you just trust God and you just know you are where he wants you and that he will use you.
Praise
and it's
Jesus.
The most fulfilling, amazing thing.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry, I was a little long there.
That's fine. I don't see anyone else. And I'm sorry. I was speaking for him.
Well,
let's get to speak. Okay.
He's very sensitive.
Whoops-a-daisy.
I didn't know I was actually going to get dragged up here.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Thank you. A true story. So 3 years ago. So we came to this church together, and it was a different church, very different church, different pastor, different leadership. And Ann and I, we just sat over there every Sunday. And that's about the extent of our work here. And then there was a day when things started to fall apart. The pastor left. About a week, several months later, somebody here at the church asked me, hey, would you teach Sunday school? And I know Jerry was diligently teaching Sunday school, but he was growing tired. And he said, would you think about teaching Sunday school? And that was very interesting. So I actually stepped in and started to teach the adult Sunday school. But the week before that, Ann and I were actually praying. We said, do we need to go here or do we need to go to another church? Because we're not doing anything. And that was my first answer to prayer. And then the week after that, the second pastor left, and then there was nothing here. And then Jerry called us again and said, hey, would you sing? We need to do this. And the clock this morning reminded me of something. The first Sunday where we had no pastors, we were standing up here, and we were watching that clock kick down, and we were afraid that there was going to be more people up here than out there. And we counted, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the first worship service without a pastor actually happened. And I think God has put us here. I think that was a real miracle.
Amen.
And we just stayed. And to watch this body grow, and then Pastor Dale came about a year later, and this body has really become its own. We've really established our own identity.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Catherine, the pastor's daughter, and I just wanted to say how thankful I am for this church and all the people that come here, and that my dad's preaching closer to where I live, so even though I do drive an hour to get here...
They live in Huntsville at the farm.
I'm happy to not always go online and actually come here when I'm able to. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a joy for me in that I pastored in Houston, and she lives at our farm in Huntsville. And it was like an hour and a half, hour, 2 hour drive. And she comes down once in a rare time, but now she comes pretty regular. And for me, I tell you, my joy is my younger daughter's often here as well. She lives in Conroe, but they're out hunting this weekend at the land. We've got Huntsville Land and San Saba Land. They're out in San Saba. But as a dad to see both your kids in church on a regular basis, you know, in their 20s and 30s, really, that's a praise of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You're both in your 20s? I'm sorry, both my daughters are in their 20s. One is in their 20s, one identifies as in her 20s. Well, we're going to go straight into now worship, a time of communion.